And our last headline takes us to one of the oldest and best-known civil rights groups in America, the NAACP. Earlier this week, the Baltimore Sun reported it's cutting staff in the group's Baltimore headquarters. It's also shuttering most, if not all, of its regional offices. For more, we've got Kelly Brewington. She's been covering the story for the Baltimore Sun. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I have to give a shout out to Baltimore, as I often do, but this is not exactly the happiest of times for Baltimore. What do these cuts look like, Kelly? How drastic are they?
Well, we're talking somewhere in the neighborhood of perhaps about 30 or 40 people. The Baltimore headquarters has a staff, or at least has had staff positions, equaling about 119 people. The interim president and CEO, Dennis Hayes, has said they'd like to bring that number to 70. They're doing that by not filling open positions, as well as some layoffs.
You know, growing up in Baltimore, the NAACP headquarters were really, they were close to the Kmart that we used to go to all the time.
Sure.
And people often wondered, well, why would the NAACP even be in Baltimore in terms of its national profile? It struggled, it seems, to find its place literally, geographically, as well as now financially. What's the general sense in reporting on this that you're getting from people about how they think of the future of the NAACP?
Well, it's clearly at a crossroads. As you know, the NAACP's leadership had wanted to move its headquarters from Baltimore to Washington. They said last month that that wasn't going to be able to happen because they didn't have the finances to do the move. They had organized a deal with the city council in the district to provide some incentive money, and yet they weren't able to sell their massive property in Northwest Baltimore to accommodate that move. So they're going to stay in Baltimore for now. The move to Washington is on hold for now. They still don't have a president and CEO since Bruce Gordon left a month in March. And they're facing their 100th centennial anniversary, which is coming in 2 years. And that's going to be a really big event, a time for them to look in the past and look forward to really what they're going to do to fight injustice in the future.
You mentioned former president and CEO Bruce Gordon, who we had on our program previously. There seemed to be a divide between his approach to viewing the civil rights struggle as one of economic empowerment versus Julian Bond, the head of the board, viewing it as more of a traditional civil rights legal justice framework. You've spoken to a lot of employees on and off the record. What do they think about this whole thing?
Well, I think it's a sense, I think you're dealing with a board that has 64 people, so you're going to have possibly 64 different points of view. You're dealing with a national staff that's nearly 100 people, and you have a grassroots membership of several hundred thousand. So, I mean, I think there are a lot of different views as to where the NAACP needs to go from here. But one thing is very clear, the board and Bruce Gordon did not agree. They were not on the same page as to where to go in the future. And part of that had to do with activism versus social justice programs. Part of that had to do with how to raise money. And, no matter what happens, there's going to have to be some kind of cohesive decision on where the NAACP goes from here in order to be effective. And I think everyone agrees on that, but I don't know for certain if they know how to get there.
Now, the NAACP's annual convention is coming up. Do you have any sense of how the group is going to move forward differently, if at all?
Well, the annual convention, it's going to be in Detroit next month, and it's always a time for the organizations. There are delegates from all over the country to come together, and they set policy. They set policy for the next year, and they talk about what their main priorities are going to be. It's not clear yet what those priorities will be. They'll spend a good deal of time discussing them during the convention days, and it will be interesting to see if they have a president by then. It doesn't appear as though they will. That's usually a process that takes many months. And Julian Bond usually sets the tone for the convention in his speech to all the convention delegates that usually kind of formally opens the convention time. And, you know, he's known for giving a fiery, sometimes controversial speech, but something that really kind of sets the tone. So I guess we'll all just be waiting to see what happens then.
Kelly, thank you so much for giving us this inside insight to the NAACP.
Well, thank you for having me.
Kelly Brewington is a reporter for the Baltimore Sun.